In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that sets us apart, makes us unique as followers of Jesus, are the values that we hold. The values that we cherish, that we hold dear as Christians, are derived from the teachings of Jesus. For us, those primary foundational relationships that Jesus highlights for us all throughout his ministry form the basis of our personal values as Jesus followers. For example, you may remember that it was on the night before Jesus died for us that Jesus gave us an important commandment. Jesus said this. He said, "This is what I command you, that you love one another in the same way or as I have loved you." In another place in the Gospels, when someone asked Jesus about what laws or what rules we should follow, "Jesus, what is the law?" Jesus responds this way. He says, "Love God. Love Abba, your Creator, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love God with all that you are." In other words, put your relationship with Abba, your Creator, first. And then secondly, at the same time you're doing that, love your neighbor. Love the person around you, that other person, as you love yourself. Upon these two basic foundational relationships depend everything else and all other relationships that we hold dear. And from these basic teachings about our primary relationships, we derive a lot about what our basic values are as Christians. Keeping our priorities and our values sorted out and in their proper sequence is essential to our experiencing shalom, or peace, in our life. Experiencing a sense of fulfillment in our life. Experiencing a life worth living. Love of God, love of neighbor, and what is derived from doing that. Regarding this business of keeping our values sorted out, an American monk by the name of Thomas Merton once made the following comment. He said, "People may spend their whole lives climbing the ladder of success, only to find once they reach the top that the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall." I think we've heard that one before. And what Merton is telling us here is important, and it's something that you and I need to think about. What are our values? What do we value most in this life? What or who do we consider to be most important to us? What do we consider to be success? From what or from whom do we derive our sense of affirmation, our sense of worthiness, our feeling of okayness? Where does that come from? Thomas Merton is warning us in that little quote that values, that is, what we consider to be truly important in our lives, really do matter. And this is precisely what Jesus is getting at in this gospel reading for today from the Gospel of Luke. Now, for the most part, you and I find it pretty easy to connect with Jesus as healer. We can connect with Jesus as teacher, and for sure we can connect with Jesus as good shepherd, as our advocate and savior. It's a lot harder, however, for us to take seriously the words of Jesus, which call into judgment some of the cultural values that we may have bought into, and those social rules and everyday behaviors that are so much a part of our secular society. Behaviors and social rules in which you and I engage all the time, and a lot of times out of necessity, just in order to carry on business or a profession in today's world. But the danger is we can get sucked in, often without realizing it. And this was just as true in Jesus' day as it is now in our day. For example, back in Jesus' day, who sat where at a dinner party was a big social deal. In Jesus' day, who sat where at a banquet or a dinner party conveyed status just as clearly as who has the corner office or who has the choice parking place or whose child has the most attendees at her birthday party or who goes to what school or university. And just like in Jesus' day, so also for us now in our day, it is so easy for us to get into playing all kinds of crazy, stressful, and sometimes harmful social games, using a host of subtle status signals and indicators in order to promote ourselves. And believe me, we are not shy in using these signals and indicators to make very sure that others know exactly who we are and how important we are and exactly where we stand in the pecking order, wherever we are, whether at school or at work or at home, and yes, even here in the church. Our clothing, what style we wear, our car, what neighborhood we live in, where and with whom we hang out, what accent or verbal expressions we cultivate, sometimes even our posture, how we move if we're not careful. It all becomes geared at sending a message about our worth, our position in society, how important we are, where we stand in the pecking order. Here's a little example of how destructive and hurtful this system could be if we let it. Let's say you're at the checkout counter over here at Ingles. A person of color in front of you pays for her groceries with a handful of food stamps. Now, when a person pays for her groceries with food stamps, people could draw some assumptions and conclusions about that person, right? You know, we could decide right quick her place in the pecking order, where exactly she stands in relation to more successful people by our cultural standards. But then you notice that the next person at the Ingles checkout counter does not pay for his groceries with food stamps. He pays for his groceries with an exclusive members-only credit card. And when this person pays for his groceries, people who happen to be observing could draw other conclusions about him, right? And the point of this is obvious. You see, how our secular materialist culture judges the values, the status, the worth of individuals is very different from the way Jesus judges those same persons. We saw it in the gospel reading this morning. Out there in our secular society, you and I and all persons are labeled, we are judged, we are placed somewhere along a strict hierarchy based on these kinds of outward things. And it's by playing these social games and by participating in these ways of judging others that we begin to lean our ladder against the wrong wall, as Thomas Merton would say. Well, it's Jesus who comes among us and who in today's gospel offers us a better way to live, a better way to look at others. You see, all this material stuff in our lives, all the money, all the homes, all the clothes, the cars, all the games we play regarding status and power and pecking order, Jesus would say, hey, folks, all this stuff that surrounds you and all the games you play, it's not you. That's not you. And as far as Jesus is concerned, and as far as God is concerned, what you have or what you do not have is of no concern. Who you are in the eyes of Jesus has nothing to do with the clothes you wear or the car you drive or where you live. As Jesus says a little bit further on in Luke's gospel, life is not defined by what you have, even if you have a lot. Jesus does not know you as the guy with the nice suit or the lady with the big house or the kid with the new bike. For Jesus, our stuff does not define us. But rather, Jesus knows your heart. And when God, Abba, the Creator who put breath into your body, who gave you the gift of life, thinks of you, when God thinks of you, God sees your compassion. God sees your devotion. God sees your tenderness. God sees your willingness to actively listen to another person. God sees how you empathize with one who is in need. When God looks at you, God sees your courage in the face of danger. God sees your ministry to others. God knows your inner thoughts. God sees your joys. God knows your deepest sorrow. God is well aware of your worst fear, your deepest, most personal needs. You see, God doesn't care about your stuff. God cares about you. Jesus doesn't care if you're a Pharisee or a Samaritan. Jesus doesn't care if you're a prince or a pauper. Jesus cares about you. And that's what this gospel and that's what this Eucharist here today are all about. Today, what you and I do around this altar and here in this holy place are all about Jesus and you. It's not about power. It's not about social status or pecking order as the world is about. What we do here is all about Jesus embracing you in the arms of God's love. You know, when we finally gain the spiritual maturity to stop playing these worldly games and begin to see life through the eyes of trust in God's love for us, then that's when the blinders come off. That's when we begin to see the real treasures of life that God surrounds us with. The real treasures. First, we begin to see that standing right beside us every day is a Savior who hears us. A God to whom you can pray, you can converse 24/7. You begin to see that you have the power of love behind you, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and you have all of heaven to look forward to in your future. The real treasures. Jesus, your good shepherd, gives you grace for every sin, direction for every turn, and he is an anchor for every storm. Those are the real treasures we have in this life. Each day, by loving God with all that you are, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and by loving neighbor as yourself, you are granted everything you need in this life. All the status, all the power, all the sense of self-worth, all the affirmation you or I will ever need, all the things we seek are offered freely and without price at Jesus' banquet table of life, to which you and all God's children are invited. Amen.